KN4VWA.
W4NGU.
Gus?
Where are you headed?
I gotta go down and put tires on this beast.
Tires already, have you?
I didn't get but about 23,000 miles out of that first set of tires. It was pathetic. I know better than to buy it. I will never buy Generals.
Heard of such a thing. Good grief, where'd you get them?
Oh, that's what came on it. Coopers. I've always gotten real well with Cooper, and want to get what they call an ATP2 all-terrain. It's not real heavy treads, but, you know, it's a real, real good mud and snow tire.
Well, I bet that's going to be an expensive tire, but they'll be pretty.
Franklin's was going to be up over $1,290. These Coopers are going to, and Cooper's a 65,000 mile tire. They're going to be $943.
I think I told you one time I worked for Michelin, and it was all open air offices, and my office was right beside an office that several of the top brass would meet at a little round table right over the cubicle from me every week. And they had every way from here to Sunday to think of how we could get people to pay one more penny for a Michelin tire before they would decide to go to the competitor. So I absolutely assure you they price it at the top of the market.
Put out an excellent product. There is absolutely nothing you can say bad about a Michelin tire. They wear well, you know, they do well. But at, let's see, 13 and 3, at $350, I'm almost 50% into another set of tires. So the long and the short of it, heck. I come out better buying the Cooper tires.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, I think they're overpriced. Great product, like you say, but just overpriced. But they intend to get every penny they can get before a certain percentage of the market will veer off.
I heard that $1,290. I didn't veer off. I slammed on the brakes and took a hard right.
I don't blame you. Well, what's the latest on the flying front?
But I have conquered the Cadet. I can go over there, fly, get up in the air, get down, and just do what I need to do with the Sig Cadet anytime I need to. And matter of fact, I've kept from poking holes in the monocoque with some pretty strong wind. So I just need to get some additional flying and experience time in. And I bought myself a Horizon Hobby, what's called a MAL. It's a scale plane, and I've just gotten it finished and all set and ready to go. It's one of those off and landing bush plane type deals.
Well, how did your son do?
Out there and didn't listen to me the first time. Well, let me preface this. Friday evening when he got up to the house, that evening I put him on about 4 hours of the real flight simulator, and he did well. He did very well on it, and but he said, "Oh, I can do it! I can do it! I can do it!" And he got out there and he got low altitude in a turn, caught a wingtip, and cartwheeled it in, and we had to do a repair. So after he learned not to get down too low on altitude, like you see on YouTube, then he did fantastic. And I mean made three landings that were just absolutely greasers.
Is that a good landing?
This way. If you could picture some grease out on the runway and you come in and you just ever so lightly touch it down and it just keeps sliding along the ground and it just keeps going and just smooth as silk. That's called greasing it in.
Good. Well, I'm about to grease in myself here. So I will be talking with you later. I had called you a few minutes before you called me, and I didn't know if you heard me inside the house and got on the road or not. But anyway, good to hear from you. And keep Tom Rouse in line. It's just getting to be more than we can handle. But I guess between all of us, we can do it. W4NGU, listening for your final.
Well, big guy, he just is what he is. You got to either love him or hate him. Fortunately, we all love him. Listen, think about Saturday morning. We might just have to get you out there and let you participate a little bit. So, yeah, I will talk to you soon. It's going to be 75 degrees on Saturday morning, on Saturday. It's going to be beautiful. I'll catch you later, Bill. 73's KN4BWA. I'm clear.
Well, just so you know, we always have two meetings with my accountant, and I've got a follow-up at 10 o'clock with him. But we're pretty much there. I don't know if we'll go to this one, but it's scheduled anyway. W4NGU clear.
PR, KN4VWA.
4NNR.
MR, KN4VWA. Good morning. How do you like this beautiful day, man?
I'm loving it. I mean, it's a good day, other than I'm working now, and I kind of was laughing a while ago because I work for Michelin, and I heard y'all talking about it a while ago.
You say you work for Michelin currently?
I do. I'm one of the officers here. I'm one of the rovers that ride around and all, but I currently do work for Michelin, and I do agree they are great tires, but sometimes you can't afford to buy them for sure.
I'll tell you guys, like I was telling my buddy Phil there, they're a great product, but, you know, at a certain point, you just got to turn it loose like a hot potato.
Yeah, like I say, I work here, and I got some on there just because I can't get some discounts. We don't get discounts like we used to, but, you know, if I had to buy them outright, I couldn't afford to put them on my own car, and even though I work here, so.
Out of the palace over there on Pelham?
Negative. I work up here by Donaldson Airport. I work for Mark, US-1, US-6, Prime, GDC, and Twill, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And for the longest time, they were a great company to work for, too, you know, with all the benefits. But when France started having financial problems, basically the U.S. bailed France out and kept them going until they could get reestablished. And that's when they kind of cut some benefits and really, really tightened up.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's changed a lot. I've been here about 9 years now, and everything's changed a good bit in 9 years, for sure.
Yeah, it was a matter of fact that it was the U.S. and Japan that kept France going, wasn't it?
I believe you're right.
They pulled it out of the nosedive. And, you know, like I said, they've got a great product. I can't afford it. So, yeah, I used to do business over there at Mark. Long about that same time when they were trying to, you know, salvage France, they also went to a different purchasing outfit. They outsourced all of their purchasing for the plant, and them people really didn't know what they were doing.
Every couple of years, they change in everything around. You know, we change out a lot of things. Like I said, I've been here 9 years, and you know, we change over again, especially with all the stuff that's going on in the world today and shutting everything down. Everything's gotten a little tighter everywhere, but it's been a big different change for sure for us. I'm a what they call AP specialist. I do fire EMS and law enforcement and safety and security environmental for Michelin. So I kind of rove around the area up here near Thompson campus.
Okay, so you're a liaison between all the government agencies that do all the purchasing for those big tires.
Yes, in the scale, yes.
Working with government.
Not really, but it's every different.
I had my own business, and I did some contract work, annual contract work with the Fed on some things as a supplier, and I'm going to tell you something. I was in business. I own my own business from 96, and I'm still in business. I'm just semi-retired now, but long about, about 2005, things went up for rebidding and everything, and it just wasn't worth it. So I had them coming out of the woodwork. You need to bid on this. You need to bid on that. I said, no.
They bid on things all the time, on different things, and the cheapest ain't always better. It seems like they try to go cheap on things, but it ain't always better for sure.
There was that line from that movie Armageddon. Oh, Steve Buscemi, whatever his name is, in the seat in that shuttle, and he says, one of the other guys on that movie, he says, "Isn't it comforting to know that you're sitting in 260,000 parts all bid out to the cheapest bidder?"
That's a great, great feeling there, huh?
What is today? I'm headed down to get a new set, and it's headed back to the house. Probably going to have a new set on my wife's Cadillac. Where are you headed?
Radio stuff.
In a hole, and I didn't catch it, just the final tail end of that. Try one more time.
February this year, I'm going to get out and talk to people. So that's where I'm at today. I'm actually looking for a problem.
Start hitting the repeater again. It'll be good and clear. So I was just trying to make sure it wasn't on my end, you know, telling him wrong. So where are you headed today?
On my way to Inman again. We got all the deck covered and got four patio doors set in yesterday, so today's the day to go over and finalize the last few little things and then start making a materials list to finish out the inside of this building. And hopefully this will be the only job I do this year. I can get this one done and I can take the rest of the year off.
Oh my goodness. You're making too much money. What are you doing, flipping one?
No, I'm building a, they gonna call it a pub shed. Basically like a little, I don't know if you call it an events building or something to that extent. It's about 24 by 32 with about a 1,300 square foot deck put onto it. And it overlooks about 50 acres over there on the Tiger River. So it's a super pretty place. Real nice little venue there. And I'm just finishing it out for them.
Yeah, that's got to be real nice high-end finish on it, don't it?
Of it being is they want it more rustic, so we're doing a lot of reclaimed materials, some reclaimed metals and stuff. They got a couple of old barns on the property, and we've salvaged some materials off of it, so that's a lot going to be a lot of the interior finishes. So it's going to look kind of rustic.
Oh, I understand why you're making some money now. Doing that stuff is just way labor intensive when you got to go over and pull your own lumber, get it all cleaned up, and then take it over, transport it, and then put it back on somewhere else. Yeah, that's a lot of labor in that.
I'm not making a tremendous amount off of it. I'm just lucky enough to be in a position where I don't need a whole lot of money to live off of for the year, so that was kind of the intention when I left the fire department. We paid everything off and got a budget down to bare minimum, and that's pretty much what we operate off of. And we were going to work seasonal and just kind of travel some. I spent a summer in Alaska right before COVID hit, driving a tour bus, and that was a blast. Then COVID hit, and that kind of canceled our plans, so I reverted back to my skill trade and pulled a few dollars into the house.
That sounds good. All right, yeah, I remember you telling us about going to Alaska. I bet that was a really cool trip, because if you were driving the tour bus, man, you got to hit all the high spots.
So we drove our RV up there from South Carolina here, and we went into Skagway, which is the most northernest port in the Inner Passage, and all the cruise ships stop in there, so we'd pick up at the cruise ship dock, take them out into the Yukon, and let them see grizzly bears and moose and the glaciers and the snow-covered mountains, and it was a blast. Met a lot of interesting people from a lot of different countries and just had a really good time with it.
Well, as long as you brought them all back with all their fingers and toes in place, that's a good trip.
Out of the whole thing, I only had one time we got about, I don't know, we were about 4 hours outside of Skagway, and I had a lady come up to me, and she said, "I need you to do me a favor." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "Will you just leave my husband here?"
Yeah, for 50% cut of the insurance money.
Told her I'd leave him there, but the bad part of it is I'd be back up there again this afternoon, and he'd just get back on the bus and come back.
Yeah, I bet she was disappointed, huh?
Whole bus full was a trip. I think they were all pretty much cruising together, and I mean, it was a hoot, man. They were laughing, cutting up, just having a good time. And I mean, I was surprised at driving a tour bus up there. I mean, everybody seemed to tip really good, so the money was really good, but the cost of living was, woo, it was high. A gallon of milk was $8.50.
Come on.
A gallon of milk was $8.50 and a loaf of bread was $3.75. Everything had to come in on a barge. They didn't allow commercial truck traffic down the highway there coming in because of the grade. And everything had to come in by barge.
It's crazy. Man. Well, dang. Well, Bo, I've destinated over here. I've got to shell out near $1,000, I got to put a set of tires on my beast. I got a 2500 Dodge diesel. So, I enjoyed it this morning. Hey, you behave yourself. I will talk to you soon. KN4, VWA, I'm clear.
Good, Steve. You have fun with getting them tires put on, and have yourself a wonderful day. Looks like it's going to be another sunny one. K2RCL, and I'm clear.